All right, so we're going to continue in our We Are Family series. The last couple of weeks, Jason and Terry have come and shared about family, and we've covered several different areas in family, and we're going to wrap it up today in talking about family. And as I was getting ready for this, I was trying to just praying about where we need to kind of wrap up at, and the word generations kept coming back to me. And as we look in the Old Testament, God talks about the generations quite a bit, especially when it comes to talking about the blessings and the curses and stuff, and how things are passed through the generations. So I kind of want to talk around generations today. And I want to make this statement: what you do today affects the generations behind you. All right? The things that you do today, the decisions that you make, affect the generations to come in your family. And I love the song "The Blessing" by Elevation Worship. Anybody heard that song? It's kind of one of those new ones that, you know, Kalo's playing a lot right now. And I love that song because it's biblical. They're singing scripture, and things that they sing in that is what is called the blessing. And God gave this to Moses for Aaron and the priests to speak over the people. And we'll read this in Numbers 6. 23. We're going to spend a lot of time in Deuteronomy and Proverbs today, but we're going to start off in Numbers chapter 6, verse 23. It said, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace.'" And it's a beautiful song. If you hadn't heard it, you can go look that up, "The Blessing" by Elevation Worship. They sing several different scriptures, and at one point they start singing about God blesses to 1,000 generations. And for some reason that kind of stuck in me this week as I was studying, getting ready for this. And so I looked up in the Old Testament to where God talks about, you know, the blessing and passing it on generations beyond you. And so in Deuteronomy chapter 7, this is what he says here. It says, "The Lord did not set his affection on you or choose you because you were more numerous than other people, for you were the fewest of all people." He's talking to Israel here. He says, "But it was because the Lord loved you and kept an oath that he swore to your ancestors, that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery and from the power of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt." Now, what he's referring to here is the promise that he gave to Abraham long time before this, and that he promised that he would bring his people and he would give the people the land of Canaan. And so there's a whole thing that we could talk about there, but he promised Abraham that. Now Abraham, he made it to the land of Canaan, but he didn't see the fulfillment of that promise in his lifetime. And in fact, it was many generations later to where, you know, God brought the people out of Egypt, with the plagues and then the crossing of the Red Sea, and then they crossed the desert for 40 years, and God brought them in by the hand of Joshua into the land that God had promised him to be. And this is what he's talking about here, is that he chose them and he loved them, but he said, it's because the Lord loved you and kept the oath that he swore to your ancestors. Now, this is one of the cool things when we start talking about family and ancestors and generations, is that God makes promises. And as we see in the Bible, lots of times that person didn't necessarily see the fulfillment of that promise, but it was a promise to the family. And that's what I want to look at today, is that blessing and those promises that God has given us through the generations that's passed down to us. He goes on to say in verse 9, it says, "Now therefore that the Lord your God is God, know that the Lord your God is God, and he is faithful, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his promise." Man, I love that. I love that. He's saying, you know, as I love God and keep his commandments, the blessing is going to pass from me to my children and to my children's children and through a generation. It says to 1,000 generations. You know how long 1,000 generations is? I don't know either. I didn't look it up, but it's a long time. I mean, that's a lot of generations in that. And so we can move on to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and look at and see another aspect of this. God has given Moses the Ten Commandments here, and this is in one of the commandments. Deuteronomy 5:8 is where we're going to start. He says, "You shall not have for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." You know, I've always read that and think, that's not really fair. You know, why would, you know, someone's sins, you know, affect, you know, why would their kids and their kid, you know, third and fourth generation, why would they get punished for what someone else did? But he goes on, he says, "But showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." And what we're actually looking at here is that, and we all know this concept of like, you know, things are passed down through families, you know, good and bad stuff. You know, there's certain things in families, you know, bad traits that are passed down from father to son and to generations and generations. And we all see this. You know, there's nothing worse than when your child acts just like you, right? You know what I'm talking about? You know, they start acting up and you like see yourself in them and it just makes you mad. You know, and it's kind of that concept of that we pass things on to our children, good traits, bad traits, habits. There's things that are passed through the generations that can be negative. And that's what he's talking about here, is that he's punishing the children for the sin of parents to the third and the fourth generation, but showing love to 1,000 generations. I love that. Of those who love me and keep my commandments. That's why I said at the beginning, what you are doing today, the decisions you make today, will affect the generations behind you, good or bad. Let me say it this way. There are some things that go on in your family, there are some traits in your family that are negative, and that you can change those things so that you don't pass it on to the next generation. You hear what I'm saying? And so this is where I want to get to today, is talking about how to change the generations behind us by changing, allowing God to change our hearts and our lives. All right? There's certain things that I face and that I deal with that I don't want my kids to have to deal with. And there is something that I can do to help not pass that on. See, I want the love of God to be passed on for 1,000 generations beyond me. That's what I want for my family. And I'm blessed to be in a family that we have generations and generations of men and women who have loved God and have served God, and that's passed down through my lineage and to where I can see the effect of it in my life, and I'm even seeing the effect of it in my kids' life already, as some of them already given their lives to the Lord and serving Him. And so there's a generational thing that happens, and some of it is based on what we do and what we don't do. And so today I want to get this in our mind about how to pass on the blessing of God to the generations beyond us. Because I know we can all look at things in our life thinking, I want this thing to stop now with me. And I believe that through the power of the Holy Spirit that can happen, that there can be some negative things in our family that can stop with us and never go past us. Amen? And so this is what I want us to get the concept of, is as we love God and we keep His commandments and we're seeking after Him, God can change our hearts and our lives, and He can change the destiny of our family in the future. And so as I was looking at this, you know, if God blesses to 1,000 generations, what are some instructions that God may have given them to help them to teach their children that some things in the future? And so I did a deep dive into this on looking at the traditions of the Jewish families and how they raised their children. All right, and some of this we can see in the Bible, some of it we can see in some of the Jewish teachings and stuff. But I kind of want to look at some of this. I mean, I could give you a ton of information today, and I don't want to do that because y'all would get lost and bored and all that stuff. But there's so much good stuff in here, and I want to kind of give you a highlight of some of the things that God shared that He taught them, even all the way back in Deuteronomy, about how we can raise our kids and how we can change some things in our family so that they're not being punished for our sins. Amen? I don't want my kids to be punished for my sins. I want to pass on the blessing to their kids and beyond that. And so Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. And I want to stay here for a few minutes and read some of this stuff. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn there, because I want to read a good chunk of this, because it gives us some insight into things that we can do to help raise our kids to love God. And I think that's all of our plan as parents, is that we want our kids to love God and to serve Him. And, you know, the thing is that our kids, they follow our patterns, all right? You know, we like to tell them the right things to do, but if we're not doing those things, they're probably not going to do them either. It's the whole, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. It doesn't work. You know, if you want your kids to do something, to build certain habits in their lives, then you need to be modeling those things in your everyday life so that your kids can pick those up and continue with those things, okay? And so Deuteronomy chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1. And I want to read through this. I'm going to kind of stop here and there and talk about some of the stuff that he's talking about, because there's some good stuff in here. All right, so Deuteronomy 11:1, it says, "Love the Lord your God and keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commandments always. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his majesty, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things that he did in the heart of Egypt, both in Pharaoh the king and in Egypt and to his whole country. What he did with the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were punishing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin to them. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the wilderness until you arrived at this place, and what he did to Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab the Reubenite. And when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all of Israel and swallowed up them with all their household, with their tents and everything that they had belonged to them. But it was your eyes that saw all of the great things that the Lord has done." What he's saying here is like, your children didn't experience, but you did. And so we need to be passing on the faithfulness of God that we have seen to our children. Now, I heard someone say this. You know, we've heard it said that, you know, experience is the best teacher. But really, it's other people's experiences are the best teacher. See, some of us are stubborn and we have to learn our lessons on our own, right? We have to make the mistake and learn the lesson. But if you can learn lessons from other people's mistakes, that's a whole lot better than making your own mistakes and learning from them, right? And so we can learn from other people's mistakes and we can learn from other people's victories, and so that we can apply those lessons to our life. And this is what he's talking about here, is that we need to be talking to our children about the faithfulness of God that we've seen in our lifetime. Amen? And so the things that we've experienced, and if you're in church and that you're living for God, I know that you have a salvation experience. Your past, we all have a past and we all have overcome things. And so that we know what it is to see the faithfulness of God and see the power of God move in our lives. And we've seen God do some things. Well, your children haven't seen all of that. Your children have not experienced all that. And so we need to be talking about the goodness of God in our life. You know, some people are ashamed of their past. You know, there's a lot of shame and different things in our past. And that we need to be willing to allow our kids to see some of that, so that we can show them the goodness of God in that at the same time. Now, I'm not saying getting all the gory details of your past, but what I'm saying is like, hey, this used to be me, and I was a failure in life, but then God came into my life, and He changed my heart, and now God is doing this in my life. And your kids need to be able to see that. And one cool thing that I like about the Jewish culture is they love to tell stories. They love to go in and retell stories of what God's done for them in the past. And just as he's saying here, you guys experience this stuff, okay? Your children need to be hearing you talk about this. And the cool thing about it, in as we see the generations go by, and we'll get to some of this here in just a second, but like as they celebrate Passover, even today, they tell the story as if it was them that experienced it. You know, talking about the death angel and putting the blood over the doorpost and the death angel passing over. They tell the story as if they were there and experienced it, when it was actually their ancestors. And I believe that that's part of the mindset is that we need to be passing things on from generation to generation. And some of that comes through storytelling and telling about the faithfulness of God. Verse 8, it says, "Observe therefore all of the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take the land." Was I supposed to read that far, T? I don't think I was. I wasn't. Okay, let's jump to verse 16. T's back there. It's like, oh man, I got to get that up there. Verse 16. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down before them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut up the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce. I'll get it out here in a second. And you will soon perish from the good of the land that he has given you. Listen to this. The next few verses are what I want to get to. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. I try to say this as much as I can every time I get a chance. If you're not putting God's word into your heart, into your mind, then you're not growing in Christ. You need to consistently and consistently be putting God's word into your heart over and over again and allowing God's word to come into your heart. Don't just read a few verses and say you've done what you're supposed to do for the day. But stop, read, meditate, think about, allow the Holy Spirit to work His word in your heart and your life and begin to change the way you think and begin to change the way that you act. That's what the Word of God is for, is so it can come on the inside of us and change something so that we can be different and be more like Christ. It starts, parents, with you. If you're not doing that, your kids won't do it either. All right? Now, let me say this. I'm not a parenting expert. All right? I'm right in the middle of this thing. I haven't learned it all. I haven't figured it all out. But as we're working through this, God is showing me things. And so, but I want to pull from God's word some stuff that we can do. It says, fix these words of mine in your hearts and on your minds. Tie them as a symbol on your hand and bind them on your forehead. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give you, to give your ancestors, as many as the days that are in heaven are above. If you carefully observe all of these commands I am giving you to follow, love the Lord your God, walk in obedience to Him, and hold fast to them, then the Lord will drive out all of the nations before you, and you will dispossess nations larger and stronger than you. See, this is part of the blessing that God wants to bring into our lives. But I love how He talks about this and as parents and what some of the things that we can do to teach. Because let me tell you this. Let me say this right now is that parent, you are the number one teacher of your child. You are their spiritual leader. All right? Now, we have some great children's and youth ministry here, and that Miss Miranda and all the teachers, you know, they do a great job, but if that's the only time they're hearing about Jesus when they come into church, then we're missing it. See, you are their spiritual guide, and you need to be teaching and doing those things. And that's a big task, and that's a scary task. You're thinking, I don't know how to teach my kids about God. I don't know, you know, I might tell them something wrong and you know, it's awkward to pray in front of your kids. And being a spiritual leader is not an easy thing to do. But as parents, that is our job, to be the spiritual leaders of our children, and that we need to be the ones teaching them. He gives us some ways to do that here, okay? As we look into this, he said, first of all, you need to be in the Word and it changing your heart and your mind. It says, tie them as symbols around your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Now, one thing I love about Jews is they like to take things literally, okay? And so there are times that they will take a box and put some scripture in it and tie it to their forehead to where there's a box on their forehead. Now, could you imagine walking around with a big box strapped to your forehead, right? That'd be kind of weird. People would look at you funny. But you know what? You will always think about that box being on your forehead, right? You're not going to forget about it. Like, there's not going to be a part of your day that you don't realize that there's something sticking to your forehead. And that's the point of it, is that if it's sitting there and I'm thinking about it and I'm thinking about what I stuck on the inside of that, that scripture that's there, then it constantly reminds you of God's word. It said, tie them around your wrist or put them as a symbol on your hand. I love, how one of the trends today is, you know, wristbands and stuff that say, you know, back when I was growing up, it was what would Jesus do, right? And now there's a new one that I never can remember what it means. It's like WHLM. I don't know what it says, but there's a new one out there that people are wearing. And it's one of those things. It's a reminder. Like when you wore that what would Jesus do bracelet, you know, you remember that's on there. And when you look at it, you think, oh, what would Jesus do in this situation? And it's those things that help to remind us to live for God, and to remind us of Scripture, and to remind us of certain things. One of the things we did at our youth conference is we gave them all a wristband, you know, and it had a cool logo and it was all cool and stuff. But at the end of the first day, you know, we talked about, you know, God's wanting to do things in your life and change. You know, what's the one thing that God, that you need God to do in your life? And I had them write it on the inside of that wristband. They flipped it over and wrote it on this and flipped it back over so nobody could see it. So it was between them and God. And so, but now every time they look at that wristband, they think of that one thing that they need God to do, and it reminds them to pray about it and to give it to God. And these are the kind of things that help us to remember. And what the cool thing is, at the end of the third day, we said, all right, I want you to take your wristband off and give it to somebody else. And you take theirs. And now you pray for that person, that other person's thing. And so now it's a reminder of what they wrote on theirs, that they're supposed to pray for somebody else and that their friend is praying for them. It's pretty cool. All right? But this is one of the things that we can do to help us to teach, is that we have things that remind us of Scripture and things that we need to do. Verse 19, it says, teach them to your children. When are we supposed to do that? Talking to them when you sit at home and when you walk around on the road, walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up. So when are we not supposed to do it? That kind of covered everything, didn't it? When you're at home, when you're away, when you're lying down, when you're standing up, when you're walking, when you're sitting. It should be a constant thing that we're telling and we're talking, we're having conversations with our kids about God. All right? Now you're thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do that? I'm so busy, I'm doing stuff. Let me tell you something, guys. There are tons of moments in the day to where God opens up doors for us to talk to our kids about stuff. All right? One thing that kind of sticks out in my mind that we try to do is, like, you're driving along the road and you see the wreck on the side of the road, right? You know, and traffic slows down to 5 miles an hour because everybody's doing this. It's like, what happened? Who is it? You know, but none of y'all do that, I know. You are not the cause of slow traffic on accidents. But anyway, just keep driving, really. Just keep driving. It's going to be okay. There's people taking care of it. But what you can do is, though, in that moment, you can say, guys, there was a wreck that happened over here. Let's pray for them. Small thing that you can do to remind your kids that we need to be praying for people that are hurting. Right? And it's not a big thing. And there's things that happen all throughout the day, all throughout the week, to where it's small things that we can do that gives us opportunities to talk about the goodness of God and to show them that prayer is important and that we need to be in His Word. And you know, you don't have to sit down with a 12-month lesson plan that you sit down each night and, okay, we're going to go over Genesis chapter 1, 2 today. Everybody read. That's not what we have to do. What it is as we live life and things happen, we put our focus on God in those moments and we give things to God and we pray and we talk about things. Include your children in those things. And at that point, when you're walking along the road, when you're sitting down, you can have these conversations with your kids about God. See, kids don't respond to a 30-minute sermon. All right? There's a bunch of kids in here that's not listening to me right now because, you know, and that's okay. But the thing is, you can soak in, and then you can go home and you can have conversations with your kids. All right? And that's kind of the idea of what he's talking about here. He goes on in verse 20. He says, write them on the door frames of your house and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord has sworn to give you and to your ancestors. This is a really cool concept that I love, is that you can post scriptures around your house. And I want to give you a challenge. We've got kids going back to school tomorrow. After your kids go to bed tonight, go into their bathroom, go into their room, write a scripture on their mirror so that when they wake up, they can see that. Write an encouraging note on the mirror. Write something on the mirror that is positive and makes them think of God. And it's something that you can do. You can make an impact on their life without you actually being in the room. You know, when we were remodeling our house, one of the things that we did, and Jason's crew helped us do this, is we walked around and we wrote scripture all over the walls of our house. You know, different scriptures in different places and prayers and different things. And they came back and they painted over them. And so there's scripture written all over our house. You can't see it, but it's there. And one of the things that I did is I wrote personally Psalm 91 right beside our front door. And it talks about in your coming and your going, God's going to protect you. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. And it's my prayer for my family that every time they walk by that, that scripture is going to apply to their hearts. And it's things like that that we can do to give reminders. You know, put scriptures up around the house. Write encouraging notes. Do things. You know, if you pack their lunch for school, put a note in there that says something. I'm praying for you. I love you. God loves you. Here's whatever. Be creative with it. It's these moments that we can teach our children about the importance of God. Because let me tell you something. If God is truly a part of all of your life and you include Him in everything, then you're going to be talking about Him and there's going to be plenty of opportunity to teach your kids. Okay? Like I said, it doesn't have to be a lesson, you know, whatever, but as life goes, we can teach and do those things. So lots of great things there. And so the thing that we're going to look at today is there's two pieces within this, is that as we're raising children, we are to be their teachers and we are supposed to discipline them. Okay? Those are the two things that we see in Scripture that God talks about that we need to be doing. Man, I've only got 3 minutes left. And so we need to be teaching and disciplining them. And so we kind of talked about teaching, what we need to be looking for. What are some things that we need to be teaching? How can we do it? As we look into the Jewish tradition, they have lots of rituals. They have routines. They recite scriptures and prayers, and they have retelling of stories. It's built into their customs. It's built into their traditions. There's holidays that God set in forth in the Old Testament. You go back and read these if you want to. There's a lot of it that's in there. But God placed within Israel, in their calendar, different times that they celebrate different things. You know, we all know about Passover, that time in Egypt when God told him to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. And when the death angel comes, he will pass over the house and go on to another house and everybody in the house will be safe. And so they celebrate Passover, that moment to where God showed his power in Egypt and he saved his people in that. We know that Jesus was the lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. And the blood of that was put on the doorpost was the blood of Jesus that we live by now. And so that we have the blood of Jesus on our hearts. And in that, when they go and they celebrate Passover, they tell the story about Passover, about what God did. And they talk about the faithfulness of God and God's hand of protection on them, even during the tough times. They celebrate the Festival of Weeks, to where they celebrate the time when God gave Moses the Torah, the Word of God, and they celebrate that. They celebrate the Festival of Tabernacles, to where they remember back in the 40 years that they lived in the desert, how God provided for them the entire time. You don't live in the middle of a desert and have fresh water and food readily available to you all the time, but God provided that. And it gives them an opportunity to talk about God's faithfulness to us. We could talk about Yom Kippur. We could talk about Rosh Hashanah and all of these different things. And each one of them, it gives them a chance to stop and tell the story of God's faithfulness and how we can apply that in our lives. See, we need to build within our traditions and in our calendar to where we can talk about God. See, two things that we celebrate are Christmas and Easter. These are the two Christian holidays that we celebrate, the birth of Jesus and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We need to be utilizing those with our children. We need to not just give them Christmas presents, but we need to tell them about who Jesus is, that he came, he was the Son of God, and he came to earth and lived as a human being, and the whole story. It's an opportunity to teach our children in these things. And it tells us to do it on all occasions. Real quick, I've got 48 seconds. Let's talk about discipline real quick. All right. Y'all think I can do it in 48 seconds? Crossroads needed a few more minutes anyway. So, all right, Proverbs 19:18, it says, discipline your children while there is still hope, otherwise you'll ruin their lives. Proverbs 29:17, discipline your children and they will give you peace and they will bring you the delights that you desire. Proverbs 13:1, a wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Proverbs 29:15, a rod and a reprimand impart wisdom, but a child left undisciplined disgraces its mother. See, it's important that we're disciplining our children. Now, I'm not just talking about punishment here. Within discipline, we are teaching them different things. We're teaching them responsibility. We're teaching them self-control. We're teaching them gratification delay in these things, and that we can train them in these things as we bring discipline in their life. There's a teaching thing and there is a punishment thing that we need to do. And you've got to have both. You know, there's some parents that just want to teach and tell and instruct, but they never have, there's no consequence for action, and that doesn't work. There's some parents out there that just want to give consequence to action but never teach, and that doesn't work either. They work hand in hand that we need to do, have that teaching and that punishment for wrongdoing. But here's the thing, when we do discipline, when there is consequence for action, all right, one thing that we got to make sure that we do is that we just don't punish our children, but we need to do it with warmth and with love. We should never discipline our children out of anger or out of frustration. How many of you are guilty of that? Let me raise all my hands and all my feet. I do it. But here's the thing. If you just get onto your kids constantly, they're not learning anything, but you're just pushing them away. But there's got to be a warmth and a love, and that you're more concerned about their well-being, and that you're concerned about their future, and that you're trying to guide them and not just correct behavior. And there's a difference between correcting behavior and guiding a child, and that it needs to be a guidance that we're giving them, and then that consequence that comes in, whatever the consequence it is that you use, you know, whether there's spanking or whether there's timeouts or whatever you do, each child is different. Each child is different in the way that you discipline them and the way that they receive that correction. Like for my son, all I have to do is say, I'm going to take away your electronic time. And it's amazing how quick, you know, behaviors change, you know. But each child is different in how you correct those things. And so today, as we talk about the generations, what is it in your life that you don't want to pass on to the next generation? What is it, the struggles that you have or the habits that you have or the things that you don't want to pass on? Let me tell you something. That's one of the reasons that Jesus died on the cross, is to stop some of those things. The next generation doesn't have to have your bad habits. But as you allow the Holy Spirit to come in and change your heart and your life and to change those things in your life, you can stop that passing on. Your children don't have to be punished to the third and fourth generation because of your sin. But the Bible tells us that we need to go and that we need to love God, that we need to be obedient to Him and our hearts be towards Him, and God bless us to 1,000 generations. See, I want to pass on that blessing to my family. I want to pass that blessing on to the generations behind me that are coming up. But there's some things I have to change that I don't pass on. And I believe that God can do that, and He will do that in your life. But you've got to be willing to give that thing up. It might be your pet sin that brings comfort to you. Do you want your kids to have to deal with that and your grandkids? See, you can draw a line in the sand and say, it stops here. It's not going on past me from here on out. The rest of my family is not going to have to deal with this because I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to take care of that thing in my life. And we need to look into our lives and allow God to do that in us. Because let me tell you something, the world's not getting any easier out there to be a Christian in. I mean, it's changing fast. And there's more and more pressure on the church and on Christians than ever before. And let me tell you something, there's going to be a great shakeout coming up at some point to where those who are half-hearted in this thing, they're going to fall away. when the pressure gets on us. You know, Jesus told me, he said, you know, because they hate me, they're going to hate you too. There's going to be persecutions. There's going to be things happen. I'm not trying to prophesy here. I'm just saying that the Bible says that it's going to happen. And there's going to be a time when there's going to be great persecution against the church, and the ones who are just playing church are going to fall away, and the true believers are going to stay. I want to be a part of those true believers that stay. And so that means I got to allow God to change this right here. And as he changes this, he changes the generations behind me as well. And so today, as we finish up, as we worship, prayer team's going to be up here. The front's going to be open. You know, we call this the altar. There's nothing special up here. We didn't sprinkle holy water up here to make it blessed. The Holy Spirit doesn't reside right here. This is just a sign for you to say, I'm coming to surrender. If there's something that you need to change, maybe there's something your family's facing. There's a struggle that you're having. These people are here ready to pray for you. Maybe you need to come lay something in front of God and just say, God, I'm giving this up. I don't want this to go beyond me. You can come and kneel here. Or you can come pray. You can kneel at your seat. Man, you can pray on the way home. You can wait. Give it to God. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter when it happens. The Holy Spirit's right there with you, and he's going to honor that prayer wherever you're at. But today, if God's stirring in your heart, I compel you to come and take care of it now. We got prayer team up here. Miss Kay's in the back if you want to pray. But let's get to our feet. Let's worship today and allow God to stir his word in our hearts. And if you need prayer, come on. Let's worship.